Mason Dixon line fits my life. Oh, so right.
Stay with us on this Monday morning. Text line, you need to be in touch with me, your show host, 251-343-0106. Still got a bunch of texts to get to. We'll get to those over the course of the program. Joining us now on the line, we do this every other Monday. Always a pleasure to bring on my next guest, State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. We always appreciate it. Well, it's election time, and I guess the question I'd have for you, there's a bunch of stuff on the ballot. You don't have to, I don't know if you've endorsed or what, you know, any of that, but tell me this. Let's start with this. Since you're in this space, what are you looking for in this AG's race, you think?
Well, I don't know, candidate Mitchell too well, but, you know, I've worked with Robinson over the years, so. You know, I think both of them are good people, and, you know, I'm not sure which way that one's going to go. I hadn't really kept up with it or looked at the polls or anything, but I think Alabama's going to be good with, you know, either one of the candidates that we get on that election.
Well, I mean, and I guess I ask it like this. You're talking to them about criminal justice, policing, those sort of things. Is there something you would like to hear from those guys when we start talking about that topic?
Yeah, the biggest thing is making sure that we're going to support our law enforcement here in Alabama and make sure that we're going to uphold the letter of the law and make sure that, you know, that we're going to continue to fight a good fight on keeping these violent offenders in prison and not releasing them early.
And that's been a problem. And that seems to be more of a problem from the administration that, and it's been used as like a bargaining chip, it seems like, with the Departments of Paroles, apparatus, bureau and board, and not really hasn't. And then, you know, there's also, we just don't have the prison capacity that we need to, have this kind of criminal justice we need in Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely. I know at one point we had to come back and change the laws on the good time that we were allowing inmates to have. And basically we were allowing the Department of Corrections to handle that. And, you know, they were self-correcting, I guess, by giving too much good time to try to alleviate some of their problem, which is overcrowding. And that was not a good solution. And the legislature had to go back and change the laws and, you know, address that issue. And, you know, every time we turn around, there's always someone bringing legislation trying to decrease the amount of time they serve or let them out early, you know, good behavior, different stuff. And that's just not good practices. We have got to make sure that we're holding those accountable that are out here victimizing our state.
It's and you've seen this, you know, one time is one time too many. Where we let someone out early, they give them a very generous, good time release or whatever, or even like work release you hear sometimes. But there's always just what appears to me to be like a lack of institutional control at times. And in the meantime, you look at the hallways in the legislature, and it's not. There's a few activists, the one that vocal and people like that, but generally speaking, Representative, it's people just trying to get more people out of prison.
Yeah, it don't make sense to me. You know, I even had one legislator tell me a couple of years ago that the only way that we were going to reduce crime in Alabama is to start releasing some of these inmates. And I never could get him to explain that, you know, that thought process. But, you know, the fact is, there's a lot more to the criminal justice system than people realize or see. A lot of times these people that are finally convicted and sent to prison have been arrested, you know, 10, 15, 20 times before we finally are able to get them sentenced and sent to prison. And that's been a problem. And, you know, we're constantly working against the revolving door and trying to keep these inmates in that need to be in. And it's almost like at times they're begging us to put them in jail and prison. And, you know, you give them probation, you give them good behavior, you give them youthful offender, you give them everything in the world, and yet they go right back out and do violent offenses. And that's just, you know, makes no sense. And then at some point, we have got to do our job and lock these people up and keep them locked up.
Well, it's Jay Towne, who's the prosecutor in North Alabama, or former prosecutor, says it's hard to get put in prison in Alabama. Like, you really got to screw up pretty bad to go serve time in an Alabama prison. And the reason he says that, and when he explains, is like, these are people, we're not just like punishing low-level drug offenders or whatever the mythology is of the day, that these are truly people worthy of prison time, needing prison time, needing, you know, whatever the system can throw at it to try to correct some of the behavior, that it's not just an overreach of state government or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm going on my 35th year in law enforcement, and I've seen it time and time again. And like I said, a lot of times it's almost like these criminals are begging us to do something, you know, to send them where they want to be, which I guess is prison. But you go in and, you know, you got somebody that's done 20 home invasions or 20 burglaries or 20 robberies or something that serious. And, you know, we're reducing it down. The courts are reducing it down to some lesser offense or not as much. And, you know, they're getting a lot less time there. But then they go to prison and they want to give them good behavior and add, you know, time that they can get out early with that. And then we want to push the parole board to parole these people early. You know, before it's said and done, they really have not been punished appropriately for the crimes that they have committed.
What's your outlook here? Do you think, and I know we took it from an election question to a criminal justice topic discussion, but are we finally going to get a handle, you think, under Tuberville? It's going to take the legislature, but even if it's just something in writing, dealing with the prisons and the capacity and the problems there in this next administration?
I think it's going to take quite a while to fix. I definitely think that he's got his getting his head wrapped around it and working toward a solution. I've already heard there's talks going on, you know, to deal with our Department of Corrections. And, you know, I think he's going to have his hands full. It's a lot to do. It ain't happened overnight, and it ain't going to be fixed overnight, but we've got to start somewhere. And I think, you know, we've got to quit kicking the can down the road, and we've absolutely got to meet this challenge head on and see what we can do to try to fix it or, you know, make it better anyway.
Well, and I mean, like, it's a problem, and like, there's just things that aren't going to change that are problems with, you know, criminality in Alabama and having to take bad people and put them somewhere. But what is kind of in the way here, that is something that could be changed, that could be fixed, is the Department of Corrections. And it just seems like it's this corrupt bureaucracy from the bottom up. I mean, we know the prison guard situation and the constant battles with contraband, and it's the guards a lot of times who are enabling what's going on there, and things like that. It's just getting a handle on the bureaucracy itself, and that's something you would expect out of the governor, I would think.
Yeah, I think there's been some steps in the right direction over the last few years to address some of that issues. And, you know, the new prison, I had a chance to go visit that back there in the special session, and it's coming along good. And I think that's going to be, you know, a major step in the right direction, but that ain't going to be the solution to it all. You know, I don't know, whoever is tasked with running our Department of Corrections are going to have to take a out of the box approach. And, you know, I don't know exactly what's going to be the solution there, but I do think that, you know, whatever it takes, if you have to bring in the National Guard and attack it from one prison to the next to get things under control and make sure that there's no contraband being brought in by correction officers or any other, you know, people that are contractors with our prison system. So there's, you know, just going to take a lot of work and It's going to take somebody with a lot of energy to get in there and try to tackle this.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. I guess we haven't talked since, but Supreme Court coming out with its decisions that it will be indeed be the 6-1 map and things will proceed as they are supposed to. You feel good about where it's at because it does impact your district.
Yeah, absolutely. I suspected that it was going to go that way. It was just going to have to be a process that we were going to have to work through. But yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm glad that we were able to accomplish that. Looking forward to the upcoming elections and, you know, see what we can accomplish there. But I had a feeling it was going to go our way eventually.
Yeah, and I don't buy this, that there's confusion, that no one really knows what's going on. I mean, I think, Representative, that I mean, people are pretty smart. They're pretty coached up on this stuff. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's just the left trying to use that as an excuse for anything and everything. I think that people are smart. They know what's going on. They're paying attention, and, you know, they're going to come out and vote, and you know, they're going to let their voices be heard through their votes.
Yeah. And, you know, that they'll know when to vote and they'll know when to go and vote. And there's no like, oh, I don't know. Am I supposed to vote on, you know, next Tuesday or am I supposed to wait till August 11th? None of that was ever really, it was just like you said, it's the left trying to kind of cloud things, but Mobile being back in the first congressional district in its entirety is kind of an important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've demanded that from day one. You know, we didn't appreciate the way it was handled and what was done. And, you know, we have fought tooth and nail to make sure that our voters are heard, and they were. And we're looking forward to the upcoming elections and let the people's voices be heard. I don't think, you know, I know that our voters are not as misunderstood as, you know, the liberals would like us to believe, but we'll show them that in the next upcoming election.
You feel like 7-0 is around the corner next year, or what are you hearing on that?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, that's what we're hearing from Coach, and I think he's in the catbird seat of governor. So unless something, you know, happens, I suspect that that's what we're going to be looking at in the near future.
Because it just wasn't enough time in this special session. And then I get it, but it's not something that we talked to Senator Elliott about this Friday. I don't think we'll wait till 2030. I mean, do you see that scenario playing out?
No, absolutely not. I think that you're going to see the legislature get on their game and start working on this immediately. And, you know, I think we'll be addressing it soon.
Yeah. And then, you know, the getting everybody back in the same congressional district, that it's this idea that we all have these same communities of interest. Now, the lower court said that this was, you know, the race trumped all of that. But you start looking at it and having one congressman, and you could start talking about some of these things that you want done in your district. And I always think of Highway 45. We see, you know, that's a federal road. You get some kind of federal matching. I mean, that's the way that's got to be done. Then some of that's just going to have to be the approach the Tuberville administration takes. But having one congressman, one congressional district, and that it just makes more sense for that to be something that's more of a Mobile-centric function.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're headed in the right direction. I've had some talks with Senator Britt and with Senator Tuberville in reference to Highway 45, and I think we're headed in the right direction. We're working on some stuff as we speak, and, you know, we're gonna keep fighting and being the squeaky wheel until we get something done.
Well, that's such a big part of it, you know, getting Governor Tuberville's attention on it, because this administration and here we're on the tail end of it, but it turned out to be what we thought all along. It's just going to take a new governor to start looking at some of these things. And it's not so much like okay, Tommy Tuberville gets elected and you expect the bulldozers to start, you know, or you expect the right of way to be attained and the bulldozers to start clearing land. It's just, we're not even talking about widening 65, where we're putting some of these big projects on hold. And I know that there's finite resources, but at least get them on the table to be discussed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, from what I'm hearing, that Senator Tuberville is, you know, already working on a lot of stuff and preparing, getting everything ready for when or if he is elected. And I think he's getting his game plan together and actually doing a lot of hard work ahead of the race. And, you know, so I think once he wins, he's going to be able to hit the ground running, and he's going to be, you know, be able to start addressing some of these major issues across the state immediately.
Representative, we'll leave it there. We always appreciate your time, and we'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. State Representative Shane Stringer there. Let's get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could chew.